Translation: Knowing well that the age of Kali has already begun, we are assembled here in this holy place to hear at great length the transcendental message of Godhead, and in this way perform sacrifice. So just before I start class, unfortunately I have to rush off right after the class, but if anyone would like to have the evidences that I share on this PowerPoint, you can message me your email and I'll send you the PowerPoint so you can go through the evidences for yourselves in your own time. So before we go, I just wanted to say my understanding of the translation before we go to the purport, and I'll read the purport segment at a time and just say what I understand. So in the translation, first of all, this is who's speaking? Does anyone know who's speaking? The sages, yes. It's the sages of who's speaking, and they've been speaking since verse 6 of this chapter, and they'll speak until the end of this chapter, which is, I think, another two verses to go. And so in this verse, they're saying that a few things, that they know Kali Yuga has begun. They're aware that this terrible age has already begun. That's the reason they've come to Namashranya. They refer to it as this holy place. So they're referring to Namashranya as the holy place. And they're telling us in this verse why they've come to this holy place. They've come because they know it's Kali Yuga began and they want to do something. What do they want to do? Their intention is to do a sacrifice by hearing for a long time. So they've come to Namashranya to do a sacrifice of hearing for a long time. And the reason they're doing that is because they know Kali Yuga has begun. So that's just my understanding of the translation. So we'll go to the purport. So, yes, you got the mic. So if one person doesn't read twice, so when you've read, the next person reads. So would you like to read this section of the purport? Anyone know how to make it work? There's a switch. That sounds like it's working.
This age of Kali is not at all suitable for self-realization by the methods practiced in Satya Yuga, the Golden Age, or Treta or Dwapar Yugas, the Silver and Copper Ages.
Thank you. Would someone else like to read? This is all from the purport.
For self-realization, the people in Satya Yuga, living a lifetime of 100,000 years, were able to perform prolonged meditation. And in Treta Yuga, when the duration of life was 10,000 years, self-realization was attained by performance of great sacrifice. And in the Dvapara Yuga, when the duration of life was 1,000 years, self-realization was attained by worship of the Lord.
Thank you. Someone who's comfortable reading?
But in the Kali Yuga, the maximum duration of
But
in the Kali Yuga, the maximum duration of life being 100 years only, and that combined with various difficulties, the recommended process of self-realization
is that of hearing and chanting. And just in case anyone is watching online, they didn't hear that, I'll read it again. But in Kali Yuga, the maximum duration of life being 100 years only, and that combined with various difficulties, the recommended process of self-realization is that of hearing and chanting of the holy name, fame, and pastimes of the Lord. So before we move on, I'm just going to tell you what I understand from that section. So here it says the maximum duration of life is 100 years. So I just want to share an evidence that says what happens in Kali Yuga. That's the maximum. But as Kali Yuga progresses, that duration of life is going to get less and less. So would another lady like to read? Is it not working? it's not working,
then in this next age, this Kali Yuga, we can live up to 100 years at the utmost. We are not living 100 years, but still, the limit is 100 years. So just see, from 100 years, the average duration of life has decreased to about 70 years. And it will eventually decrease to the point where if a man lives for 20 to 30 years, he will be considered.
Yeah, because the sound keeps going, I'm just going to read that again for people who are watching online. Then in the next age, this Kali Yuga, we can live up to 100 years at the utmost. We're not living 100 years, but still the limit is 100 years. So just see, from 100 years, the average duration of life has decreased to about 70 years. And it will eventually decrease to the point where if a man lives for 20 to 30 years, he will be considered a very old man. And we can see we're going that way with our food poisoned, our air poisoned, our medicine poisoned, you know, the ether around us poisoned. Gradually our life duration will go down. So in this little chart, I've just put visually everything that I understood from the section of the purport that we just read. And I'm going to read out like yuga, and I want everyone actually to just say the words, because when you say the words, you remember, we assimilate. By hearing and repeating, we assimilate. So if I say Satya Yuga, what is the life expectancy? Would everyone actually just call out the life expectancy? And if I say, what's the method of self-realization? Will you call it out? Yes? Everyone can. So in Satya Yuga, this is what we've read so far. What is the life expectancy? 100,000 years. What is the method of self-realization? Meditation. Is this method approved for us? No. In Treta Yuga, what is the life expectancy? 10,000 years. What is the method of self-realization? Sacrifice or yajna. Is this method approved for us? No. In Dwapara Yuga, what is the life expectancy? 1,000 years. What is the method of self-realization? Deity worship. Is this method approved for us? No. Not according to the purport. The purport said no. So, in Kali Yuga, what is the life expectancy maximum? 100 years maximum. What is the method of self-realization? Yes, hearing and chanting of the holy name, fame, and pastimes of the Lord. Is this method approved for us? Yes, this is the method for us. So, that's what that purport said, unless I misunderstood the purport. So now we're going to read a bit more from the purport. Any other lady?
The sages of Nimashanya began this process in a place meant specifically for the devotees of the Lord. They prepared themselves to hear the pastimes of the Lord over a period of 1,000 years.
Okay, thank you very much. So, Nimashanya, I hear, understand from this, is a place meant specifically for the devotees of the Lord. So, the question comes to my mind, why is Nimashanya meant specifically for the devotees of the Lord? And we have an evidence that will explain that to us. So the question is, why is Nimashanya place meant specifically for the devotees? And this evidence is to help us understand that. Someone who's a nice, clear reader.
In the
Put it nice and close to your mouth.
In the Vayavya Tantra, it is said that Brahma, the engineering deity of this particular universe, contemplated within his mind a great wheel which may be turned round for the space of the universe, and thus the hub of the great circle is fixed at a particular place, which is known as Nimashanya. Similarly, there is another reference of the forest of Nimashanya in the Varaha Puranam, where it is stated that by performance of sacrifices at this place, the strength of demoniac people is curbed down. And thus people who are situated in the Brahminical culture do like this place of Nimashanya for such performances.
Thank you. So this is from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 1, Text 4. So two things, and I didn't really understand the first thing, but it's the hub of the universe. I didn't understand everything, but I just got it that it's the hub of the universe. But the second point, even more importantly, is that according to the Braha Purana, that when sacrifice is performed at this place, the strength of demoniac people is curbed down. That's why the devotees go and do sacrifice there, because if they do their sacrifice there, the sacrifice they do curbs the strength of demoniac people. So that's why they've gone to Namishranya, especially for devotees. Devotees go there to try to curb down the demoniac. So we're going to go to another part of the purport. Someone else who's got the mic? Keep it nice and close.
By the example of these sages, one should learn that regular hearing and recitation of the Bhagavatam is the only way for self-realization. Other attempts are simply a waste of time, for they do not give any tangible results.
You may not have realized, but anything in black is the purport we're studying right now. Anything in blue is other evidences. So when we're going through the black, it's the purport. So yes, I have a little few comments I want to make on this section of the purport. I'll just read it one more time. By the example of these sages, one should learn that regular hearing and recitation of the Bhagavatam is the only way for self-realization. Other attempts are simply a waste of time, for they do not give any tangible results. So, Prabhupada says, by the example of these sages. So if I was to put that in my own words, I understand Prabhupada saying, what the sages are telling us and how they're behaving is actually meant to be instructive to us. They're role models for us. We're meant to be gleaning a personal instruction from their example and their words, something we're meant to be learning from. So that's the first thing I understood from this section. The second thing is that what are they trying to teach us? They're trying to teach us that regular hearing and recitation of the Bhagavatam is the only way for self-realization. That's what we should be gleaning from their example and from their words. So we should learn to hear and recite Srimad Bhagavatam is the only way for self-realization. So what does that mean? It's the only way for self-realization. I understand it means that if we want to realize I am not this body, if we want to get off the bodily concept, what to speak if we want to realize our relationship with Krishna and be reinstituted in our relationship with Krishna, it is absolutely vital that we hear and recite Srimad Bhagavatam. There's no other way of doing it. Nothing else, Prabhupada says, is the only way. So from that I understand nothing else will help us to attain self-realization. So we may work very, very hard, but if we fail to hear and recite Srimad Bhagavatam, we're never going to get off the bodily concept of life. We're never going to reawaken our relationship with Krishna. That's what I understand from this section of the purport. So question comes to my mind. Why does Prabhupada say to hear and recite? What does that mean? And the way I interpret that, the way it makes sense in my head, is that when we hear Bhagavatam, we have to hear actively, not passively. That just sitting and hearing and not repeating what we hear, not repeating it, we're not actually going to make it. Just sitting passively in class, we're not going to achieve self-realization. If we want to achieve self-realization, it's not enough just to sit passively in class. We have to hear and repeat. So a few evidences to support this, and at some point through these evidences we're going to switch to the men so they get a chance, but a few more evidences read by ladies, please. Who's got the mic? Keep it nice and close to your mouth, please.
To hear and explain them is more important than reading them. One can assimilate the knowledge of the revealed scriptures only by hearing and explaining. Hearing is called shravana, and explaining is called kirtana. The two processes of shravana and kirtana are of primary importance to progressive spiritual life. Only one who has properly grasped the transcendental knowledge from the right source by submissive hearing can properly explain the subject.
Yes, so Prabhupada here is saying, this is Bhagavatam 1.1.6. Not only do we have to hear, but we have to explain what we've heard. Then we'll assimilate it. Then the process will work. If we don't explain, we won't assimilate, the process won't work. And after many years, we'll find that I'm still agitated by the same things that agitated me 20 years before. Because we're not rising off the bodily concept. We have to hear and we have to explain. Prabhupada says this in many, many places. I've just got a few evidences for you. This is another evidence on the same point. Someone else? Okay, Bhagavad, the man, have got it? Yes, yes, go ahead.
Hearing is solidified by the process of chanting. One who has perfectly heard from the perfect source becomes convinced about the all-pervading personality of Godhead and thus becomes enthusiastic in glorifying the Lord.
Yes. So our hearing becomes solidified. It becomes real for us. What we're hearing, the teachings we're hearing, become kind of our reality when we repeat them. If we don't repeat them, it just remains theory. No, and we're living this kind of like dual existence. We believe one thing, but we do another thing. we speak one thing, and we actually live another kind of life. But when we repeat what we're hearing, that begins to become our reality. And then our behavior and our thoughts begin to align with each other. So another person, please.
When we learn something, we have to repeat it, even in material things, and what to speak of spiritual.
Yes, when we learn something, we have to repeat it, even in material things. What to speak of spiritual? That's from a lecture in 1966. Probably saying, even if you want to learn something, a material subject, you know, psychology or biology or whatever you're wanting to study, if you never repeat the subject matter, you're not going to learn it. And probably what to speak of spiritual? This is a much harder science. This is a very, very subtle science. And if we don't repeat it, we're not going to understand it. So, is someone else who has the mic?
So one who is spreading Krishna Upadesh, simply repeat what is said by Krishna, then you become Acharya, no difficult at all. Everything is stated there. We have to simply repeat like a parrot. Not exactly a parrot. Parrot does not understand the meaning. He simply vibrates. But you should understand the meaning also. Otherwise, how you can explain?
Yes, thank you. So sometimes because my husband and myself, we do discussions of Gita and Bhagavatam at home every day, and I try to sometimes encourage other devotees to discuss Bhagavatam, because when we discuss, we have to hear and repeat. And so when I ask someone, please repeat what Prabhupada is saying, it's very difficult for them to not just repeat his words. But if we just repeat his words, that means we're not understanding meaning. It's not enough just to chant and be happy. We can't become a slogan religion that we just repeat parrot fashion. We have to be like parrots in this sense, that we don't speculate. We don't stray from Prabhupada's meaning. We keep to his meaning, not to our meaning, to his meaning. But we have to grasp meaning. And the way we grasp meaning is by putting what he said into our own words. Not straying from his intended meaning, but if we can't put it in our own words, it probably means we didn't understand it. So Prabhupada is saying you have to stay true and loyal to what he's teaching us, but we have to be able to convey what he's teaching us in our own words. That is hearing and explaining. Yes? So that's from a lecture in 75. So this is moving on to, what have I done? Yes. So one of the best ways to practice this hearing and speaking, because not everyone has the confidence to sit in front of so many learned devotees and speak. It's not going to be everyone's going to feel comfortable with doing this, but every one of us has got to hear and explain for the process to work on us. So Prabhupada often encouraged us to have discussion groups. Husband and wife, he says in many places, husband and wife should discuss at home. Or in the ashram, you know, two or three ladies or two and three men. It's called istogosti. Prabhupada says istogosti is when a few devotees come together to discuss. This should be a part of our program, because this hearing and explaining Bhagavatam is key to our advancement. So Prabhupada often recommends that we come together and we discuss. It's a little different from a lecture. This is a discussion. So this is an evidence which really changed my life when I heard this in a lecture, and it's when we began doing this. So would someone like to read this evidence?
Generally, people cannot understand. But if one understands, he becomes liberated. If some way or other, it is not very difficult. Simply, we have to associate with devotees and discuss this literature. Then we will understand Krishna very easily.
Thank you. So I heard this soon after I was studying Canto 1, Chapter 1, I think text 34. And in that purport, I'm sorry I didn't get the evidence, it's just coming to me now, I want to tell you this. Prabhupada says that simply to hear is not enough. Because simply to hear is not enough. If anyone's got access to Canto 1, Chapter 3, text 34 on your Veda bases or your little smart devices, you can maybe get this purport up. But Prabhupada says simply to hear is not enough, because unless one is pure in one's mind, one cannot understand. And if one cannot be pure in one's mind, if one is not pure in one's actions, and one cannot be pure in one's actions if one is not pure in one's habits. So, but then he says, but if somehow or other you do understand, then you will see Krishna in the pages of the Bhagavatam. So I remember I was meditating on this, and I was thinking, what hope do I have? I know my habits aren't pure. I know my behavior is not pure, and I certainly know my mind isn't pure. So here I am trying to read Bhagavatam, and I know nothing's going in because I can't understand. So what hope do I have? And I was meditating on this as a problem when I was doing my cooking, and my husband insists I listen to Prabhupada lectures, thankfully. So I had this lecture on, and then I heard Prabhupada say this, and I thought, ah, thank you, Srila Prabhupada. So Prabhupada said, yes, generally people cannot understand because we're not pure. I mean, I don't want to speak for everybody here. Speak for myself. I'm not pure. So I can't understand. But he says, if you do understand, you become liberated. And then he gives me the clue. He said, it's not very difficult. Simply associate with devotees and discuss. Then you will easily understand. So that's one of the reasons we started this program of daily discussing Bhagavatam and Gita together. It's a very powerful method. So, we're going back to the purport. Would someone like to read the purport?
Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu preached the system of Bhagavad Dharma, and he recommended that all those who are born in India should take the responsibility of broadcasting the messages of Lord Krishna, primarily the message of the Bhagavad Gita. And when one is well established in the teachings of the Bhagavad Gita, he can take up the study of Srimad Bhagavatam for further enlightenment in self-realization.
Do you need this turned around a bit? Can you hear? You're okay? Okay. So I'll just read it one more time. Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu preached this system of Bhagavad Dharma, and he recommended that all those who were born in India should take the responsibility of broadcasting the messages of Lord Sri Krishna, primarily the message of the Bhagavad Gita. And when one is well established in the teachings of Bhagavad Gita, he can take up the study of Srimad Bhagavatam for further enlightenment in self-realization. So just a few thoughts I had about this section of the purport. One is, I understand Prabhupada is telling us that these two activities of hearing and reciting, hearing and speaking, or hearing and explaining the Bhagavatam, these two processes together are called Bhagavad Dharma. So when we talk about Bhagavad Dharma, now we know what it is. It means to hear and explain Srimad Bhagavatam, at least. And we're going to hear this more. It's also the Bhagavad Gita. So, and then we hear from in this section, this is what I'm getting from this section, which is on the screen right now, that the reason Lord Chaitanya came was to teach Bhagavad Dharma. He came to teach us that we should and how to do it, how to speak and recite the Bhagavatam. And I also understand from this section that Lord Chaitanya wants, here Prabhupada says devotees from India, but I understand his point is not just devotees in India, but any devotee who knows about Bhagavad Dharma, because devotees in India knew about Bhagavad Dharma before we in the West knew. So he's saying, if you know about Bhagavad Dharma, Lord Chaitanya wants to tell us to teach other people about Bhagavad Dharma. He wants us to teach other people how to hear and speak, hear and explain the Bhagavatam. He doesn't want only us to be able to do it. He wants us to help other people to learn how to do it. And then later on in this section, I understand that Prabhupada includes Bhagavad Gita. He says, well, when primarily the message of Bhagavad Gita. Can you see on the purport? So I understand in this section of the purport, Prabhupada is telling us that Bhagavad Dharma includes hearing and speaking Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. So those are the things that I am understanding from this section, that Lord Chaitanya came to teach us how to hear and explain Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam, and he wants us not to just do it ourselves, but he wants us to teach other people how to do that. He doesn't want to make other people to become passive hearers. He wants them to learn how to hear and speak. So just a little point I wanted to point out, and that is that this term Bhagavad Dharma has got some synonyms. Sometimes Prabhupada uses the word Bhagavad Vidhi. Sometimes he uses the term Bhagavad Marg. But they all mean the same thing. So Dharma means religious principles, and I took my definitions from the synonyms in the verses that I've got there. So the synonym for Dharma is given in Canto 1, Chapter 7, Text 36, religious principles. The synonym for Vidhi is regulative principles, and that's from Canto 2, Chapter 1, Text 7. And the synonym for Marg is path. The meaning of Marg, I mean, is path. Or that's from Canto 4, Chapter 13, Text 3. So all these terms, those slightly different words are used. Shishig Radha Gokula Nanda Kijai, Sitaram Lakshma Hanuman Kijai, Shishigonitai Kijai, Shaprabhat Kijai, Namo Vishnu Padai Krishna Prishtai Bhutale Shamati Bhakta Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Sarasvati Deva Gauravani Vicharine Nevishe Shunyavadi Vastya Chadeshtane. So in some evidences, he's going to use the term Bhagavad Vidhi. In some evidences, he's going to use the word Bhagavad Marg. But he's talking about the same thing that's being discussed in this purport and being referred to as Bhagavad Dharma, i.e., in all of these terms, means to hear and explain Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam. All these terms refer to that. So here's a little evidence, a little bit more. I want to understand a little bit more about Bhagavad Marga. Who has the mic?
There are two different ways of approaching the Supreme Lord. One is called Bhagavad Marg, or the way of Srimad Bhagavatam, and the other is called Pancharatrika Vidhi. Pancharatrika Vidhi is the method of temple worship, and Bhagavad Vidhi is the system of nine processes which begin with hearing and chanting. The Krishna conscious movement accepts both processes simultaneously, and thus enables one to make steady progress on the path of realization of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This Pancharatrika procedure was first introduced by the great sage Narada, as referred to here by Vidura.
Okay, so now this evidence is bringing up something interesting, because in the purport we're studying, we're told that Bhagavad Dharma is the only method of self-realization. But in this purport from the fourth canto, chapter 13, text 4, we're told there's two paths. One is Bhagavat Marg, or Bhagavat Dharma, and then we're being introduced to another path, Pancharatrik Vidhi, or temple worship. And we're being told that both these things are important for our progress. So now a new kind of concept is being introduced, Pancharatrik Vidhi. And we're told also in this section that I'm just showing you that Narada Muni introduced this Pancharatrik Vidhi. This Pancharatrik Vidhi procedure was first introduced by the great sage Narad. So we're being told the source of Pancharatrik Vidhi, and we're being told that it's also very important, and we have to do this along with Bhagavat Marg. So, another evidence. Who would like to read? Please do.
It is recommended that the neophyte meditate on the deity daily. He should begin by meditating on the lotus feet, and then when he is practiced, he should turn his gaze toward Krishna's smiling face. The neophyte should also read and hear Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. If we simply try to see and don't listen, the results will not be permanent. In some temples there are deities but no discussion about Krishna. People attend for some time, but after a while they lose interest. Thus, there must be two activities. Deities must be worshipped, and this is called Pancharatrika Vidhi. There must also be Bhagavad Vidhi, reading Srimad Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. Pancharatrika Vidhi and Bhagavad Vidhi go hand in hand. By participating in these two processes, the neophyte can gradually attain the intermediate stage.
Thank you. So I'm just going to read that again, just to make sure people online are hearing it. It is recommended that the neophyte meditate on the deity daily. He should begin by meditating on the lotus feet, and then when he is practiced, he should turn his gaze towards Krishna's smiling face. The neophyte should also read and hear Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. If we simply try to see and don't listen, the results will not be permanent. In some temples, there are deities, but no discussion about Krishna. People attend for some time, but after a while, they lose interest. Thus, there must be two activities. The deities must be worshipped, and this is called Pancharatrik Vidhi. There must also be Bhagavat Vidhi, reading Srimad Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. Pancharatrik Vidhi and Bhagavat Vidhi go hand in hand. By participating in these two processes, the neophyte can gradually attain the intermediate stage, i.e. will become Madhyams, will stop being Kanishthas and will come to the Madhyam platform. Yay! Sorry. Teachings of Lord Kapila, verse 36. So, a few other things are being clarified in this evidence. In the previous evidence, we were told that Pancharatrika Vidhi was temple worship. Now we're being, because you could do a lot of things in temples, you could just sit and study Bhagavatam all day. But here we're being specifically told that by temple worship and by Pancharatrika Prabhu means deity worship. And that deity worship doesn't just mean being on the altar and dressing the deities. It means when we just come and we stand in front of the deities and we take their darshan, that's deity worship. Prabhu was saying that how you gaze at the deities, you start at their feet and then you rise up. So when we just take the darshan of the deities, we're doing Pancharatrika Vidhi. And a few other things Prabhupada is telling us. He's saying that when you do Pancharatrika Vidhi, it's essential that you also do Bhagavat Dharma. He says, if you don't do the Bhagavad Dharma and you only do Pancharatrika Vidhi, if you only come to the temple and you take darshan of the deities, but you fail to hear and explain Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam, Prabhupada says the result will not be permanent. So what I understand from that is we're going to fall down. We'll be interested in Krishna consciousness for a while, and then we're going to lose our enthusiasm and we'll go back to material life. If we don't hear and explain Gita and Bhagavatam, we're not going to stay steady. We certainly won't make advancement to the intermediate stage. So, there's a few things to understand. And this is another very interesting evidence from a lecture. Would someone be kind enough to read it? Someone who can see? You can actually come over here if you want and see it.
Tamal Krishna Prabhupada, you said when you were speaking of Bhaktanta Vidhi, you said that the nine devotional methods, it includes, I didn't understand which one it includes, up to what point. Prabhupada.
Shravanam, Kirtanam, Smaranam, Srimad Bhagavatam 7.5.23. This is Bhagavat Marg. And Archanam Vandanam Dasyam Sakyam Atma Nivedanam. That is Pancharatrika Archanam.
Thank you. That's a lecture. and 71. So I'm going to read that again. Do I have to stop bang on 8:30? Because I don't think I'm going to finish my presentation. Can I finish my presentation? Anyone who wants to leave, just leaves. Is that possible? Thank you. So this is at the end of a class Prabhupada gives in 71, and Tamal Krishna Maharaj asks a question. He says, Prabhupada, you said, when you were speaking of Bhagavad Vidhi, you said that of the 9 devotional methods, it includes, I didn't understand which one it includes, up to what point. Prabhupada replies, Shravanam, Kirtanam, Smaranam. This is Bhagavat Marg. And Archanam, Vandanam, Dasyam, Sakyam, Atma Nivedanam, that is Panchatrik Vidhi, or Archanam. So now we know exactly of the 9 items of devotional service, of the 9 limbs, which is Bhagavat Marg and which is Panchatrik Vidhi. So, carry on. So now a question comes to my mind, because in the purport that we just read, in the purport of 1.1.21, Prabhupada says, only Bhagavat Marg is the only method of self-realization. But now, in many evidences we read, you have to do Panchatrik Vidhi Marg, which is, what is Panchatrik Vidhi? It's deity worship. And deity worship is the method of worship of which yuga we heard? Dwapara. And in the purport we're studying, 1.1.21, what did Prabhupada say about the method of deity worship? Did he say it was suitable for us? He said it's not suitable for us. And now he's telling us we have to do deity worship. But he just told us it's not suitable for us. So that created a confusion in my mind. May I ask if anyone else would have this confusion? Is it a natural confusion to have? Great. So I'm going to share my light with you. I wish I could get you involved in telling your light, but I don't have enough time. So I'm just going to tell you my light, because I've got some evidences. Panchatrik Vidhi is not like the deity worship. This is my light, by the way. This is not scripture, so I'm going to just read it. Panchatrik Vidhi is not like the deity worship mentioned in the Vedas, which was performed in Dwapara Yuga, and which is not recommended for Kali Yuga. Panchatrik Vidhi is a new system introduced by Narada Muni. Remember we read that? It was introduced. So the deity worship that they used to do in Dwapara Yuga was not what we're doing now. It was a much more sophisticated and complicated system in all the rules and regulations of the Vedas, the Sam Veda, this Veda, that Veda. And we're not doing that. And I'm going to share some evidences. So this is an evidence from... there's a few pages of the same place. So I'm going to give where the evidence is from at the last slide, but we'll just read a bit. I'm just going to read these now because we have so little time. In this age, Panchatrik Vidhi, not Vaidic. Vaidic is very, very strict. So by Vaidic, from the context, I understand Prabhupada means from the Vedas, the Vedic method. Prabhupada calls it Vaidic. The Vedic method, or Vaidic, is very, very strict. Unless one is born by a Brahman father, he's not given the advantage of becoming a Brahman. That is Vaidic Vidhi. But Panchatrik Vidhi means, although he's not born of a Brahman family, if he has got a little tendency to become a Brahman, Brahman means Brahma Janati Iti Brahmana, one who is inquisitive to understand Brahman, Brahmeti, Paramatmeti, Bhagavan Iti Shabjate, he should be given chance. Just like there is a little fire, fan it, fanning, 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 and it becomes a big fire. So our process is that. So just a few things I want to highlight from this part of the evidence is that Panchatrik Vidhi is not the method of deity worship recommended in the Vedas that they used to do in Dwapara Yuga. That method is very, very strict, and it's only meant for people who are born into Brahmin families and trained as Brahmanas from the very beginning of their life. Panchatrik Vidhi is a much less strict process, and it's accessible for anyone who has an inclination to study Bhagavatam and to understand the truths of the Bhagavatam. Brahma, he must be Brahma Janati Iti Brahmana. He must be inquisitive to understand the truth about Brahman. So, in my mind, I interpret that he must be inquisitive to understand the Shastra. And if someone's inquisitive to understand the Shastra, he can be introduced into the Panchatrakvidhi method of worship. A little bit more from going back to the evidence. Anyone we pick up, anyone, Kirata, Hunandra, Pulinda, Pulaksha, what to speak of the Shudra? Shudras, we're good. There's people even worse than us. There's the Kirata, Hunandra, Pulinda, and Pulaksha. There's worse than Shudras. Mind you, I might fall into one of the other categories. I'm not sure. Striya Shudra Stata Vaisha. In the ordinary way, the Stri, woman, Shudra, the fourth great man, and Vaisha, they're taken together, not very intelligent. I hate to say this, Prabhus, but you know how we always say women are less intelligent, but in Kali Yuga, we're all more or less in the same part. We're all fall into the category of Stri, Shudra, Vaisha. We're all less intelligent. We're not the high-class Brahmins and Raj Rishis that the scriptures talk as being most intelligent. So all of us, we're not very intelligent. But Panchatrakvidhi offers facility, even persons who are lower than these three, Shudra, Vaisha. The Kiratas, the Hunandras, Pulinda, Pulaksha, Abira, Sumba, Yavana, Kasajya, Yene Cha Papa. This is from Bhagavatam 2.4.18. And even less than that, Yene Cha Papa Yad Apashraya Raya, Yad Apashraya Raya. A devotee, a pure devotee of the Lord, and if these persons take shelter of a pure devotee, then Shudanti, they become purified by following the injunction of the spiritual master. He knows how to deal with them, how to elevate them to the brahminical position, so that is not artificial. So if we take shelter from the pure liberated soul, taking shelter, understand, means hear from him, try to understand what he's telling us, take direction from him, he can elevate us no matter how fallen we are. He can elevate us to the platform of brahminical life so we can enter into Panchatrakvidhi. More from the same evidence. Shastra says, Bhagavat says, yes, by such expert management, these Kirata, Hunandra, lower than the Sudras, Sujanti. Now, just like people protest because we're giving the position of a Brahmana to the Meleshas, the Yavanas, Yavana Kasajya. Kasajya means Mongolians, the Chinese, Japanese, and Philippines. Prabhupada says in one place they're considered the most fallen because they'll eat anything. That's why they're considered very, because they'll eat anything. So they are Kasajya, the Manipuris, Assamese, they are considered as Kasajya. So there is no distinction. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has given open declaration. Krishna bhajante nahi jati kuladi vichara. Anyone who is desirous of becoming Krishna conscious, it is open. Anyone can come. We can, if we're doing Bhagavad Dham properly, it will purify even madmen. The worst, the drunkards, if they learn how to do Bhagavad Dharma properly, it will purify anyone. That's what I'm understanding. By proper training and by the expert spiritual master, everyone can be raised to the brahminical platform and then Vaishnav platform, Shudanti. So how Shudanti? The general process is that unless one is born in Brahmin family, he's not Shuddha, he's impure by birth. That is fact, but the devotee can change. This is new birth, undoubtedly. Just like these are European American students, they are new birth. They have given up their old birth practices. So this birth is changed, punarjanma. And that's from a lecture in 75 in Vrindavan. I just wanted to say something about that. So Panchatrakvidhi method of deity worship is open to even the most fallen people if we are purified under the guidance of the expert spiritual master. To become purified, we must receive proper training. So the question for me, what is the proper training? Because we can't artificially change our natures. We can't artificially go from being a crazy alcoholic womanizer or manizer and then expect to become suitable for Panchatrakvidhi artificially. There must be proper training. What is that proper training? This is from Canto 3, Chapter 16, Text 6. I'm so sorry I've taken over reading all the evidences, but I want to get through my presentation. Anyone in the entire world, even down to the chandala who lives by cooking and eating the flesh of dog, is immediately purified if he takes bath in hearing through the ear the glorification of my name, fame, etc. So that actually brings us back to the purport we've just been studying. This is Bhagavad Dharma. This hearing through the ear, the glorification of the name, fame, etc. of the Lord, this is study of Bhagavatam. Because the Bhagavatam is simply the glorification, the name, fame, pastimes, qualities, associates, attributes of the Lord. That's what Bhagavatam is. And if we drink through the ears, hear through this, the glorification, any one of us can become purified. So the process to purify us, so we can even engage in the level of deity worship that is permissible for us in Kali Yuga, the only method that can purify us is Bhagavad Dharma. So it comes back down to Bhagavad Dharma. Bhagavad Dharma is essential. In another quote, Prabhupada says, I was listening one day and I thought, wow, without Bhagavad Dharma, if we don't hear and chant properly, and passive hearing, remember, we've already gone through this, passive hearing doesn't count. You have to hear and repeat, hear and speak. That's what Prabhupada says in the purport 1.1.21 we're studying today. He says you have to hear and recite. That's Bhagavad Dharma. Without doing that, even our deity worship, Prabhupada says, will become hackneyed. Hackneyed. This is the quote. This is a lecture in 72. But the bhakti yoga can be kept active by Shravanam Kirtanam. You keep it alive by Shravanam Kirtanam. Just like you are hearing, I am speaking. This is Kirtanam. And you are hearing. Both we are benefiting. Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu. Smaranam Padasevanam. Archanam Vandanam Dasyam. Sakyam Atmanivedanam. These are the 9 different procedures of Bhakti Yoga. The first thing is Shravanam. If we simply keep these deities here, we may see, but if we don't hear about him, then it will be hackneyed. Then it will be, please say it with me, hackneyed. Just like in India, it has become. Because they have given up the process of Shravanam Kirtanam, now they are feeling now. The pigeons are coming home to roost. They're not worshipping the deities anymore because they've stopped Bhagavad Dharma. So what is the definition of hackneyed? I looked it up from the dictionary. Made commonplace or trite, stale, banal. So normally they use it, if you've done a lot of things, if you've done one thing again and again, it becomes boring, commonplace, it's no longer exciting. But I think the way Prabhupada is using this word, if something, spiritual life is ever fresh. If we're on the transcendental platform, you can do the same thing again and again and again, and it never becomes hackneyed because it's ever fresh. Only if something's on the material platform does it get boring. So if we don't do Bhagavad Dharma, we're going to come to the material platform and our practices will become boring. And after a while, we're going to look for some new taste. Maybe the news, maybe the football, maybe, I don't know, whatever's on TV these days, because we're not getting a taste. If we want it to remain ever fresh and enjoyable, we must do Bhagavad Dharma correctly. And the lesson I extract very quickly, what difference does everything we've read mean to me, is that Bhagavatam and Gita classes are extremely important. They're not just meant to be kind of like a tick on our sadhana chart. They're meant to be used for maximum effect, to keep us alive in our spiritual lives. We must use these times effectively to understand both the Srimad Bhagavatam in the morning and Bhagavad Gita in the evening. Hearing and discussing these books is the key to our spiritual advancement and our just being able to stay in spiritual life. Those are my things. So a few evidences to support my lights. This is a lecture from the Bhagavatam in 75. So that means devotees who are interested in Bhagavad Bhakti, to understand Bhagavan, they should read Srimad Bhagavatam in the association. We should have regular classes, just like school and colleges. 6 hour, Prabhupada is saying. Be engaged always in reading Srimad Bhagavatam discussing amongst yourself. We don't have enough time for discussion. It's a lot of passive hearing going on here. I really apologize to you for that. Then you'll make progress. 6 hour, 8 hour, discussing amongst your progress. Then you'll make progress. Otherwise, if you take it as an official routine work, if it's just a tick on your sadhana chart, you should take it as a routine work. Do tick it on your sadhana chart. But with consciousness that we have to learn something. Not simply attending the class, but to learn something. In this way, make your life successful. Because after all, everything is being done by David Chodidat, impelled by the Supreme Person. Why don't we have time for Gita and Bhagavatam? Why does it that householders don't fit it in at all? And even in the temple, it's cut down to the minimum because we're so busy doing things. But what we don't understand is nothing we're doing can happen without David Chodidat. It's the devas. We may minimize our hearing and chanting, and all our attempts will be frustrated by the devas. And we may do what Prabhupada is saying and focus on Bhagavad Dharma, and we'll see that everything else happens by the assistance of the devas very easily in our lives. So we have to understand this. Impelled by the, yeah, because after all, everything is being done by Deva Chodidat, impelled by the Supreme Person. The Supreme Person is behind everything. So in the association of devotees, if we read Srimad Bhagavatam regularly, then our material contamination will be dissolved and our spiritual consciousness will come out, and that will make our life successful. Thank you very much. Another letter. I am very much stressing at this point that all of my students should be very much conversant with the philosophy of Krishna consciousness, and that they should read our books very diligently, at least 1 or 2 hours daily, and try to understand the subject matter from varieties of angles. So 1 or 2 hours is the one we've taken. This is the letter in 72. The one 6 to 8 hours is in 75. So why there's a disparity? But I just want to see a few things about this very quickly. Here he says, at least 1 hour, not 45 minutes, at least 1 hour. And it's not like that's the maximum. In 75, he encourages us, up it a bit. So this is a letter to Satsarup Maharaj. You mention you like to speak now very often, but the first business should be to preach to the devotees. It is better to maintain a devotee than to try to convince others to become devotees. In-house preaching is very important. You know, we're very, very good at outreach preaching, but our in-reach preaching, Prabhupada said, is more important. Making time to make sure the devotees in the ashram, our warm market, the ones who already have some faith, making sure to help them come off the bodily concept of life, making sure we save ourselves. Prabhupada says, this is more important, this is better. It is the duty of the GBC to maintain the devotees, keep them in the highest standard of Krishna consciousness, and give them all good instruction, and let them go out and preach for making more devotees. Your first job should be to make sure that every one of the devotees in your zone of management is reading regularly our literatures and discussing the subject matter seriously from different angles of vision. That means there should be discussion, which we don't have time for right now. I'm sorry. Different angles of vision. We all have different perspectives on these quotes. I have one perspective. Maybe you see it from another perspective. Prabhupada is encouraging us. Share each other's perspectives on it. And that they are somehow or other absorbing the knowledge of Krishna consciousness philosophy. If they are fully educated in our philosophy, and if they can get all of the knowledge and study it from every viewpoint, then very easily they will perform tapasya or renunciation, and that will be their advancement in Krishna consciousness. So first thing is to instruct all of your temple presidents and the devotees to read daily. Just as we have done in our morning class in Los Angeles, you may remember that we're reading one shloka each morning in Sanskrit and reciting it all together and then discussing it thoroughly by seeing different new things. So you introduce this system and train the devotees first. Don't be too much concerned for the time being with non-devotees. Now we must fix up what devotees we have got in the knowledge of Krishna consciousness. Then we will succeed. What good are many, many devotees if none of them are knowledgeable? The Bhagavatam class is our in-reach preaching. We need enough time in this. In fact, Prabhupada would often give class on one verse on successive days. That's one of the reasons I haven't given class for so long, because I wanted to be able to do that. You can't cover a purport in one day. Certainly not if you want to look at it from different angles of vision. You know, you can read the purport and put it down and then speak your own views, but we're not learning what Prabhupada is telling us. So we're not, it's not, the active principle is missing in our lives. Unless we're very studious and we study by ourselves. But for most devotees, this may be their one chance to do Bhagavad Dharma. And this Bhagavad class has got to help us do the Bhagavad Dharma effectively. So, how do we know if we're doing Bhagavad Dharma correctly and sufficiently? How do we know if we're making enough time for it and if we're doing it in the right way? Prabhupada says in one lecture, if a person is actually executing devotional service, then he must be happy. If he's not happy, then he's not doing properly. And a little bit later in this excerpt, he says, not that you change what you're doing, but you rectify it. So not that we stop Bhagavatam class, but we rectify. We make sure the Bhagavatam class becomes a really effective dose of Bhagavat Vidhi for all the devotees. If it's being done correctly, and the Bhagavad Gita class is being done correctly, the devotees in the community, and certainly the devotees in the ashram, will begin to experience a sense of inner happiness. That not means that they'll be living in the lap of luxury. No, renunciation will also come. It'll just mean that the internal happiness will come. And they'll be able to tolerate the external renunciation. But if we're not doing Bhagavad Vidhi, we're going to have a turnover rate. It won't last. We'll come with some faith, and after a few years, it's like, I can't take this. I'm going back to the outside world. So, just a little plug for my webpage. Sorry about this. Because on this webpage, it's called www.improvingsangha.wordpress.com. I share a lot more instructions Prabhupada gives about sadhu sangha. And sadhu sangha is when we come together to do Bhagavat Marg, when we come together to discuss Bhagavatam, that's called sadhu sangha. And so I give a lot of the quotes, the evidences that Prabhupada tells about how we should be doing sadhu sangha, because it's the key to our advancement and it's the key to our happiness. Thank you very much. I'm sorry I went over time. Hare Krishna.